Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Jordan Mike, and joining me once again is Sketch1984. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Doing pretty good.
That's good, that's good. Today we're going to be continuing the season of superheroes with that emo show, X-Men Evolution. I think this should have been called X-Men Emolution.
Yeah, well, it works just fine. People usually call it X-Men Evo, so you can just call it X-Men Emo.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
Yeah. They came out with this around the time that the first movies came to theaters.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a follow-up to that, even though it was not at all related. And it's like, yeah, let's take the X-Men back to high school and have them deal with high school problems. Yeah, that'll be a great show.
Yeah. As he just said, Evolution is an animated television series by Marvel Comics superhero teams, the X-Men. In this iteration, many of the characters are teenagers rather than adults. The series ran for a total of 4 seasons, 52 episodes from November 2000 to October 2003 on Kids WB. Which has made the third longest-running Marvel Comics animated series, behind only X-Men the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series. The series began running on Disney XD on June 15th, 2009. Alright, as far as the first impressions... In 2000, it was awesome to be an X-Men fan, simply because the X-Men came to life on the big screen with the James Marsden and Hugh Jackman, Sir Patrick Stewart as, you know, Cyclops, Wolverine, and Professor X. It was 2000 was the year of the X-Men movie, and that was just badass and awesome and everything else. And then I go channel surfing one day, and all of a sudden I see a very emo Scott Summers on screen, like...
Oh, he has such an emo haircut, too.
Oh, God. Dude's haircut, it looked like a Marvel version of a Superman design. Swear to fucking God.
It was so... Yeah. I hated it. I hated it the whole season.
Yep. So... Back in 2000, I was not impressed with this show whatsoever. Just wasn't. I've seen at that time in the year 2000, I had seen maybe an episode and a half, and I was just like, "Fuck this!" Anyone that says this is a extension or not, I really can't say continuation. But anyone that says that this is an extension of the film, of the 2000 live action film, is fucking nuts. Because there's no fucking way.
The only thing it has in common is it uses some of the same characters.
Right. I mean, well,
but they're so ridiculously different.
Look at the X-Men throughout animation. You know, they've used majority of the same characters in every cartoon. Wolverine, Cyclops, Jean Grey, there's the love triangle. Professor X, Iceman, Jubilee, Magneto, Sinister, all that stuff. But this one was just like... When I first saw it, I was like, "Oh my god!" A few months ago, and I'm gonna link this in the episode post. A few months ago, or was it last year? I forget when the hell it was. A while ago, I was a guest on Animation Aficionados with TV's Mr. Neil and Ben, the host, and they do side-by-sides sometimes where they'll pit cartoons against each other. They decided to pit X-Men 92 against Evo.
Ooh.
And their opinion is, or at least Ben's opinion is, because I don't remember what Neil's opinion is, but Ben is very strongly opinionated, and he essentially, you know, it's like he has a jackhammer to your brain when he wants to get his opinion across, and he will never let up on it. He is of the opinion that Evolution was better than 92. Simply for a couple of reasons. The whole Four Horsemen thing at the end of Evo, Scott Summers doing that giant beam blast, I don't even remember. So I went through and I finally sat down and watched this entire series. And there are moments in it that I thought it was really, really good and it was okay and everything else, but I just can't get past the emo. I just can't get past the emo for me. I don't know. What about you on first impressions?
First impressions of the show, it was okay. It was a decent interpretation, but the first season in particular is very focused on the high school life, and it's kind of dull. At the point of rewatching it recently, I basically glossed over the first season, just watched a few episodes that I thought would be significant. And then just kind of continued on to the seasons beyond that. Because I remember, I didn't catch a whole lot of this as it aired on Kids WB. I saw more of it in reruns on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And there were points, which apparently were not in the order that I thought they were.
Yeah,
The show got really interesting and had some good storylines. But it had a pretty weak start, all things considered. And earlier this week when you were saying it was emo, I was like, I don't really remember it being that emo. And then I rewatched the last season and went, oh my gosh, this is so melodramatic, I can't stand it. The episode ends on like this somber note. Like, oh, you just unleashed a terrible force, or like, Rogue just essentially made it so theoretically her mother would never live again.
Yeah.
And Nightcrawler is all like, no! yeah, and Scott is, like, most of the time really just emotional and... not the same kind of emotion as in, like, the other X-Men series we're going to be talking about, but more straight up, oh, why doesn't Jean like me?
Oh, well, that's what I mean, yeah. That Scott is super emo. It's like, why doesn't Jean like me? Why won't she date me? Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to go cry in my basket now. I'm going to shed tears of ruby quartz. Blah, blah, blah.
That haircut just deal. And this also has the most unlikable version of Nightcrawler ever.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just,
I guess they got the whole sympathetic, like, they make it very clear that he's a very sensitive soul in this series, but he's also a bit of a goofball and ends up being sort of the Michelangelo of the team until they add a bunch of the newer mutants.
Oh, damn.
Right. Almost always screwing off.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I was going to make a He's So Fabulous reference, but no, let's not go there.
He's so... I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
let's just say I was really glad when Beast came into the scenario.
That along with a couple of the other moments, that is one thing that I think this series did very well, was how they actually showed the Beast transformation. Whereas I think in the 92 series...
He was already Beast.
He was already Beast.
Was there like a flashback
that
showed him before he was Beast?
Yeah, there was a couple of flashbacks before he became Beast, and I think there might have been a flashback kind of showing how he became Beast, but I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen 92.
That's the one thing this show did pretty well, is it built character arcs.
Yeah, it did.
Characters that were good, they were good character arcs. Like, Wolverine's character arc was pretty good. Even though Scott started out really intolerable, he got to be a competent leader and grew up through the series. Jean grew up through the series. Beast had his character arc. They kind of glossed over a lot of other characters, and like Spike just disappears.
That's the thing. It was like I think, and again, both times, both when it was on air, because like I said, I saw maybe an episode and a half of it, and when I went back and I watched every single episode for that other podcast that I did at the time, it was back then and a few months ago. I was like. Both times, I think that's really, besides the emo-ness of Scott Summers in this, that's really what threw me off. I was like, who the fuck is this Spike character? I've never heard of him. He wasn't in the old show.
Based on Marrow.
And see, that's the other thing. When we get to that show, when we get to Wolverine and the X-Men in a couple weeks, I never knew who the fuck she was. So... basically, for me, if a character shows up in a new X-Men series that I haven't seen before, it's because I started getting into Marvel and the X-Men with the 1992 cartoon. I wasn't reading comics before then, and holy shit, who the hell
died? What the? Okay.
Who the hell died? Jesus Christ, fucking fire trucks and ambulances. Anyway, so...
Wow.
My genesis into Marvel and the X-Men was the 1992 animated series. So anything that I've seen since then, I'm going to base opinions off what I saw in that as far as what characters show up where. And I had never heard of fucking Spike. I'd never heard of fucking Marrow, whatever the fuck her name is. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, because that series basically centered around the comics of the time. Right. And as far as I understand, it was basically the same stories as the comics.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people like about it. It was the comic animated.
Right.
This show is like, if anything, it's like Ultimate X-Men animated.
Yes, yeah.
Kind of an amalgamation of things. And since this is also asking about character designs, there's some designs in this show that I like, and then there's others that I... like Rogue's design, really, really, so bad, so bad. Can't stand looking at it.
Yeah, she's.
Some of the other characters looked all right. I get kind of frustrated with these shows, and I know it's just a matter of like budgets and stuff like that. But why are they always wearing the same clothes? You don't wear the same clothes 52 days in a row.
Well, that's the, you know, I mean, that can be said for any animated show.
Because, I know.
I mean, look at TFG1. They, you know, those construction workers in Spike and Sparkplug wore that same white wife beater and blue jeans and yellow hard hat every single day.
Well, you could argue that that was a uniform.
You could argue that, but you could also argue that they only had one uniform.
Well, they just have one style of uniform, and they have multiple copies. I mean, it could be like when you open up Doug's closet, and he just has one.
Oh, God.
I'm sure that's the case with really every cartoon character. You open up the closet, and it's like 20 sets of the same wardrobe. Like, I really like this outfit, so I'm going to wear it the rest of my life until I get older.
Yes. So, that's the first impressions. Were there any... well, I guess we'll go ahead and get into the characters and the voice actors. This is essentially a Beast Wars cast.
Yes.
You have David Kaye voicing multiple characters. You have Scott McNeil voicing multiple characters. Who else? Let's see. And then, yeah, I think those are pretty much the only two out of the Beast Wars show.
Wasn't just Trizo in Beast Wars?
Venus Trizo, yeah, she was. Who? She was Storm, wasn't she, in this? Yeah. No, she wasn't. Who the hell
is she? Was Jean.
She voiced Jean? Really? Oh, yeah, that is right. Yeah. Yeah, she was in Beast Wars as well.
Sure, pretty much everybody in this was in Beast Wars at some point.
Yep. Oh, my God. I did not know this at the time when I first watched the series, but holy hell, Teal'c is Magneto.
Yep.
Teal'c from SG-1, Christopher Judge is Magneto, which I don't mind that. I think he did a decent job as a Magneto voice. I thought it was very different and very unique. I have an issue with Apocalypse in this one. It's nothing against David Kay at all, but essentially Apocalypse in this is David Kay's Beast Machine's Megatron voice. They're very similar to each other.
I'm surprised that they had him voice both Charles
Apocalypse and Xavier, yeah.
But I guess they were dramatically different voices.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you have any characters or performances that you liked in this one?
I really like David Kay as Charles. I think that's great casting. Though I beat on the character of Cyclops in this, I do like Kirby Morrow as a young Cyclops. I think he's good in that role. Venus Trezzo is as great as Jean. Michael Kopsa as Beast. That was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And Kristen Williamson as Storm was also good. And he doesn't show up that often, but I liked Colossus in this. Michael Adam Waite.
I liked, just coming from purely what happened before this series, which was 92, I like McNeil's Wolverine.
It has its moments.
I thought it
I
was.
I don't like the snarl, personally. I find that to be a little over the top. It just doesn't. It doesn't have the same resonance as the snarl from, obviously. I can't remember his name from 92.
Cal Dodd. Yeah, Cathal J. Dodd. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the iconic.
And the funny thing is, I actually tried looking him up on IMDb to see if I could find out any information and get an interview with him, and he has no information listed, so I don't know. I after 92, I don't think I've seen him in any other voice acting thing. I would have to look him up here on beyondthevoiceactors.com, but I think X-92 was the last thing the dude ever voiced, because I've never heard his name from name again since that series. But no, McNeil's Wolverine is good. It's not my top favorite, but it's not the worst Wolverine ever. I mean, there are some pretty bad Wolverines out there.
Yeah, it was fine for the 52 episodes. So,
yeah. Yep. Let me see here. What else? Were there any, like, if you had to pick, like, one favorite hero and one favorite villain, who would it be?
Ooh, one favorite hero, one favorite villain. Beast is probably my favorite hero, or Charles. And favorite villain? I feel like the villain selection in this show is lacking, so I'm definitely going to have to go with Gambit.
Gambit?
I mean, he's not technically a villain, but he was always the most interesting to see. I mean, Magneto, obviously.
Yeah.
Always a
goof. I wish that they would have done more with it. I mean, I wish, you know, now going back, looking at specifically the final season, or the fourth season, or whatever. I don't think they actually call it the final season, but or not the however many damn the final season of the show. I wish that they would have gotten picked up for something else, whether that was a directed DVD movie or something, to kind of flush out that apocalypse story. And I, even though I did mention earlier that it's essentially just David Kaye's Beast Machine's Megatron voice, I do love that Megatron voice, so I would have to go with Apocalypse, because Apocalypse did some really fucked up things in this show.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because I so did not see that Four Horsemen thing coming, because I was expecting the same thing that we got in 92 with, you know, the four whatever, you know, what I forget how he said it in 92, but I was not expecting... I thought Magneto, Charles, Storm, and I forget who the fourth guy was.
Mystique,
yeah. I thought they were dead. I thought, you know, I didn't think they were disintegrated. I thought they were just disintegrated, not just disappeared. So I did like that as a story aspect. I found it a little too shocking. I'm like, really? He's going to use the four most powerful mutants? Against everything. It's like, oh my god, really?
Here you're thinking like Angel would end up being one of his.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was going to be like the same thing as what happened in 92. So what do we think of the finale here? Because I don't want to have to go through the entire four seasons of storyline, because it's just way... Watch the show, people. It's on Netflix. But
you don't even need Netflix. It's all up legally for free on YouTube. That's how I've been watching it.
Yeah.
And the ads don't even pop up for me for some reason. It might be my ad blocker, but usually ads still pop up despite that thing. So... Might be after a time they just stop having the ads. Don't really know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the ending was rushed, and it's kind of frustrating to me that they basically set it up at the end of the season 3, though apparently when it first aired, they kind of tacked the end of season 3 onto the beginning of season 4. Yeah. Which... kind of makes sense, because it's all kind of the overarching Apocalypse storyline, but they have a couple of episodes where they introduce Apocalypse, the concept, and then it's like, oh, he's been unleashed, and now we wait. Like, really? You're not going to do anything, you're just going to go on with your normal lives, more or less, and just wait until he makes his move? Not necessarily the best idea.
Yeah, not at all.
It feels like they wanted to tell more stories in that final season, but wanted to finish the Apocalypse storyline too.
Yeah.
So it was a rush, honestly, kind of contrived ending, because it seems like there's no way that they can win, and then okay, apparently they have a Deus Ex Machina. Of course they do. It's a Saturday morning kids cartoon from 2000, early 2000s. There's always a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, see, this is what really put me off, and I blame Netflix for this, because in Netflix the episodes are...
Out of order.
And that's what really fucked me up, because you have Under Lock and Key, you had X-23, and then you had Dark Horizon Part 1 and Part 2, and then Cruise Control, where Cruise Control, it was originally aired out of order, so the actual order is Under Lock and Key, then Cruise Control, then X-23, then the Dark Horizons two-parter, because I'm like, wait a second, why are they going to end a fucking season on fucking Cruise Control? Are you serious? They're going to ruin all that continuity they just had by airing this last? What the fuck is going on here? I mean, that's like a book out of the 80s cartoons where they'll just air a random episode. It's like, holy fuck.
Netflix really needs to pay better attention to these kinds of things. I think they were all in order on YouTube, but they were often listed as the wrong description.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's one of the reasons why I found the series so off-putting, because you had, you know, like I said, in Netflix, they are listed out of order. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, Dark Horizons, so this must be the season finale. And then it was, instead of saying go back to browsing, it said, oh, play next episode. Like, okay, what? They just had Dark Horizons and now they're going on vacation. What the fuck? Oh, I just, but yeah, that, I don't know. I just kind of, so let's see here. As far as the production notes go, obviously, starting with the first episode of Season 4, Impact, the episode title was no longer aired on screen at the beginning of the show. The X-Men Evolution became the third longest-running Marvel cartoon behind Spider-Man and XTAS, as I said before. The monthly budget for X-Men Evolution was $350,000, citation needed. I don't know.
What was the show that we were talking about that we got the budget for? There was the Superman show that we got the budget for.
Yeah.
And was, I thought there was another show that we got to see the budget for.
Yeah. No, anyway. That's the only one I remember is the Superman shorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that seems like a pretty good budget. And usually film Roman does good work.
Yeah.
Depending on what they're working with. I mean, their animation's usually good is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently this has awards and nominations, which I did not know. Really? Evolution won the award for Outstanding Achievement in Sound Mixing. Whoop-de-doo.
In Sound Mixing.
Special class at the 28th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards on May 18th, 2001, and won the award for Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editing, Live Action, and Animation at the 30th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards on May 16th, 2003. Oh, good lord. Huh. It won the Cover of the Year Award in 2004 for Best Animated Figure for Beast. Well, I could see that. Nominated for several Golden Reel Awards as well as other Emmys. Stephen E. Gordon, the director of this show, was nominated for the Production Design on an Animated Television Production category for X-Men Evolution at the 2001 Annie Awards. Well, that's cool. I don't know.
I can understand why it won some awards at the time. It's a pretty well-rounded show that got increasingly better.
Except
for last season where it kind of sputted out.
I don't know why Boyd Kirkland and Frank Parr even worked on this series. They were doing so much good stuff with DC Heroes and Villains and BTAS and STAS and Batman Beyond and all that stuff, and they went to Marvel and they produced this. I guess, you know, if BTAS is the top of, you know, your fame, there's only one way the hill goes after that once you reach the top, is it goes down. It's all downhill from here.
Okay.
The series revealed a detailed knowledge of canon history in the number of small ways. Examples include the evolution of Cerebro from a console device, Shadowcat's initial uneasiness around Nightcrawler, and Forge's scientific arrogance along with his devices causing unintended consequences. That was the other thing I did not like about this show, was how they portrayed Forge.
Yeah.
That was fucking stupid.
At least he only showed up twice.
That's two times too many. I mean, the dude's essentially a nincompoop. I mean, essentially he is a guy who creates flubber. You know, it's just... Oh, boy. Let's see. What else? Let's see. The music for the series... I like this theme song was okay. It was kind of cool. It was kind of catchy.
Yeah.
Apparently, it had several songs that were produced exclusively for the show. Oh. Only a Girl, the Bayville Sirens theme, and Walk on the Wild Side.
Oh, brother. That episode.
Yeah.
About female empowerment. That's why we're going to have them walk around in skanky-looking clothes.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not really complaining, but the whole dance bit in the middle of that episode, what was that? And why were two girls grinding? Just... for kids.
Yeah.
It's for the kids.
Several characters had distinct musical cues, including Avalanche, heavy guitar riffs, and Storm orchestral piece. Others had special sound effects. These included Jean Grey, Lightning, Chime Noise, Rogue had a unique black and white special effect. Magneto, Gambit, Shadowcat, and Nightcrawler. The main theme song was recorded by William Anderson.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. I so did not do my research on this because I have nothing listed for how does the show stack up. Lovely. All right, so.
Wait. There's some interesting stuff on what might have happened in the fifth season had it occurred.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's see. What did he write here? Okay. Moments. Where is it? Okay, I'll just read it off Wikipedia because I can't find it in the notes here anymore.
Oh, I got it. No, I don't. Go ahead. Yeah, just get it off there.
If the show had not been canceled, the foreshadowing of Jean becoming Dark Phoenix as a possible arrival of Corsair, Magneto officially aligning himself with Xavier, David Haller, and Apocalypse returning, the arrival of Shi'ar, Madeline Pryor, Mr. Sinister, Bishop, Cable, and Rachel Summers from the present and future, although in the current timeline, Nathan and Rachel are twins, whereas the others are not, and Scott's marriage with Jean. There would be anti-mutant sentiment continuing. The Sentinels will come back with the Super Sentinel, which was hinted to be Nimrod. A reformed Magneto teaches the new mutants, and Wolfsbane and Jubilee would have come back. Jean becomes possessed by the Phoenix Force and turns into the Phoenix, and they weren't sure if it was going to be a cosmic entity or just part of Jean's powers. The future.
So they were essentially going to rip off the old.
The
movie. They're essentially going to rip off 92
comics and. You know, once they... Pretty much every X-Men cartoon's got to sneak the Phoenix in there now, so... Of course they would go to do Phoenix. Yeah. And there's kind of a flash-forward to future X-Men in the last scene.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just watch the episode and you'll see, because there's some interesting things.
That was very interesting, I will say. As far as how the show stacks up amongst the others within the same franchise, X-Men 92 is so much better than this show. Simply because X-Men 92 was adult stories. Wolverine and the X-Men for me was... I enjoyed that more than I did watching this. I mean, watching this was like torture for me. It just was. Like there was maybe... Out of 52 episodes, I really thoroughly enjoyed 5 out of 52 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only 5.
Was that bad, yes.
I feel like I enjoyed more than that, but I can't quite put a number on it. I barely remember what I liked about 92, but... I'm going to say I like Wolverine and the X-Men more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did better with its 26 episodes than this show necessarily did in its 52.
Yeah.
Which is, to credit of Wolverine and the X-Men. Yeah. I don't think this is a bad show. I can understand why a lot of people would say it's not as good as 92, because 92, it's at the very least, is like the comics. And this took some interesting gambles, and some of it worked out, and others just didn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as, like, the reason why I say 92 is better than Evolution has nothing to do with the animation, has nothing to do with the style of 92 versus the style of this show. It has to do with the writing and the storytelling. Yes, there are bits and pieces of 92 that are just totally off the wall and out there.
Yeah, well, it was the 90s.
But I would much prefer seeing a four-part or three, however many parts the Phoenix and Dark Phoenix saga were. I would much rather see those, and I would much rather see Beyond Good and Evil four-parter than an episode about Scott being emo because Gene doesn't like him, which is essentially every episode between season one and season three.
Yeah. A little too much teenage problems, and it doesn't balance it out well like most Spider-Man cartoons do.
Yeah.
It's like, for the first whole season, it's just high school problems. We have to avoid showing that we have powers, but we're using our powers in the high school all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of so-so writing. But it got better. But it's... I don't see how anybody would rank this higher than 92 or Wolverine and the X-Men. I don't.
Some people do. All right, so within the same genre, that being the superhero genre, I don't know, stuff like STAS, Justice League, X-92, Wolverine and the X-Men.
There was a time when Cartoon Network played this back-to-back with Justice League reruns.
Yep.
That's a nice block. All things considered, though, I heavily question playing this after Justice League, right before Adult Swim. Should have been the other way around.
Yeah. I just don't think this show stacks up with any of the other superhero cartoons.
I wouldn't go that far.
It
didn't really stack up to any of the other ones that lasted that long, though.
Yeah.
A show that lasts 52 episodes, it's not going to stand the test of time like Justice League, like
right.
The 92 X-Men, certainly not Superman, Batman.
Right.
So, yeah, where would I rank that? I would probably rank it below the DCAU, below 92 X-Men, 93 Spider-Man, but probably above all the other 90s Marvel cartoons.
Oh God, don't remind me. I started watching Incredible Hulk. Whoa.
Yeah. So it's kind of middle of the roadish.
No, not... actually, I take that back. I just finished watching Incredible Hulk because that's what last week's episode was. It was like, oh God, why am I watching this? Oh my God! Thank God I did not. Thank God I had the smarts not to put the Silver Surfer cartoon in this season. Ugh.
Oh yeah, that was wise. Yeah, I'd say this is middle of the roadish. This is like the Batman area, where it's good on its own merits, but it's not as good as like the best of the newer stuff and the best of the old stuff.
Yeah, I would say this ranks up along there with the other shit teen show in the aughts, that being Teen Titans. They're about even.
Really like Titans more than this.
No, I like this more than Titans, sadly, but...
Finally we have something we disagreed with here. I was waiting!
But,
I enjoy Teen Titans more because even though it gets kind of melodramatic a lot, it also knows how to have fun. And this show, when it tried to have fun, was just almost intolerable.
Yeah.
It had its good serious moments, and that's what I liked about it.
Right, yeah. As far as a show from a previous decade, I honestly don't know. I don't... Maybe Pride of the X-Men, and that show sucks.
That one episode?
Yes. Ranking 52 episodes against one episode of a series that never actually happened. I honestly don't know. I mean, it, you know... Hell, even Challenge of the Super Friends is better than this shit.
I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I'm not a very good judge of those shows. Most comparable to... not really, but I guess Teen Titans.
Yeah.
It's,
and that's even in its own decade, though. That's the thing. It's like there's nothing in the previous decades that really...
I guess that's what makes this show kind of special, is that it was different enough that it's not like many other shows.
Right. Yeah.
One thing I gotta get off my chest, because I didn't bring it up earlier. I realize you have to have Wolverine in every X-Men thing now, but I don't like that he's in this show in the capacity that he is. I think it's a decent version of the character that I enjoyed watching from time to time, but it just doesn't feel right to have him there in this capacity when they're teenagers still and in, like, a authoritative role, whereas...
So you don't like him as a teacher?
I he's amusing as a teacher, but I just don't like it when they mess with the timeline that much. It just it just kind of irks me. It's not bad, and I think they did a good enough job with having him there earlier than he should have been.
Right.
Because he's like super duper old. So. That is one thing that I did. Really, really like was the fact that he and Steve Rogers saved Magneto's life.
Yeah,
that was kind of interesting, and I did like that they brought in Captain America for that one episode.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
To give a that was one of the probably one of the better episodes of the show, but I don't know how I feel about the whole super serum thing being like. Cell degenerative that I don't they threw in some weird concepts in this show that don't really mesh with comics history so well, though like I've always said, I'm not a comic book guy, so somebody's probably gonna say, oh no there was a version of Captain America where the cell was degenerative. It's like I don't care. that's not the story that I've heard of Captain America,
right? So.
Yeah, I just know what I know, and like I may know art, but I know what I like as it goes.
Yeah. As far as ranking the show 0 to 4, I would give it a 2. It's worth a watch. At least, you know, if you're an X-Men fan, if you've seen other X-Men series, this is worth a watch just to be able to see it and say you see it, or and say that you've seen it, but. This is not a show that I personally can watch, or like I can watch X-Men 92 over and over and over again. I can watch Wolverine and the X-Men again and again and again and again. This one, not at all. But I mean, it's worth seeing at least once.
Yeah, it's worth seeing once. I'd give it a 2. It's real easy to see it. It's on YouTube. It's on Netflix.
It's on iTunes. It's on DVD.
Not the whole thing. On DVD.
The first three seasons have been released on DVD, but yeah, you know, it's got comic books. It got some reason Toy Biz was still creating action figures for it.
Of course they were making action figures for it.
Taco Bell ran the first X-Men Evolution themed promotion with its kids meals. Oh my god, who the hell would buy a Taco Bell kids meal? Ugh.
Oh, I did that once. And
you're still here. Wow.
I forget even when. Good it was luck. A long, long time ago. I remember the kids' meals. They came with the cinnamon twisters. That was kind of... They came with like chips and like a taco or a burrito and cinnamon twisters, which is, you know, it's a little better than you get with some kids' meals.
Burger King also ran kids' meal promotion, which included X-Men Evolution toys. Each toy included a mini disc with games, screensavers, and a mini comic related to the character. The lineup included Rogue, Mystique, Cyclops, Wolverine, Magneto, Quicksilver, Nightcrawler, and Toad. I'm sorry, I would not even want a Happy Meal, you know, kids' meal, Happy Meal, whatever toy of Toad. Ugh.
Yeah, Toad. Why would anybody? Why would they do that? That was just dumb.
Well, that's Burger King for you.
I guess he was more visually interesting than some characters, but his design was just. Why would a kid want a toy? I guess maybe if they want to beat him up. pretty much everybody got their licks in on Toad in this show.
Ew, that's like, so wrong. Just go back and think about what you just said, dude.
Got their licks in. Yeah.
Yes, that's so, so wrong. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break and we'll come back to close the show.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the Bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Hey guys, JT from Saskatoon here. I'm calling in with my thoughts on X-Men Evolution. And I'm going to say it right off, I love this series. I have a lot of love for the 1990s X-Men series on Fox, but I love this series even more for three main reasons. The characters, the art design, and the writing. And the writing is probably something that I love more than the other two, just for the fact that this is the very early days of the X-Men. Mutants haven't been outed yet, which is one of my favorite things, because like in the first episode where, you know, Scott gets into it with the football players and he accidentally blows up this propane tank and Professor X rolls up in his Rolls Royce and he mind wipes everybody. And you see what the lengths he went to originally to protect mutants, because it just wasn't time for them to be exposed to the world like this, which was great. And just from then on, just the slow introduction of all the various members, the new members of the X-Men, the Brotherhood, Magneto, you know, eventually we get characters which were like the new mutants, which really just look up the wiki, it'll save me time. And the other thing that I loved about the series was the art design. Now, the 1990 series, to compare the two, 1990 series had like this really heavy use of shadow, and a lot of the art just seemed to have this shine to it. It seemed very shiny at times. Now, with X-Men Evolution, this isn't there. It's a very smoothly animated, well-done production. I mean, you got the nice thick lines, solid colors. Nothing really mucks about with anything else and it kind of interferes visually, basically. And like I said, one of the other things I loved was the characters. I love the characterization of almost everybody in this series. And I'm going to say right off, one of my favorite characters in the series was Toad, because in the comic books, Toad was this very hunchback-esque, you know, sanctuary type of mongoloid, basically. And in the cartoon, you know, it's okay, he's a loser still, but you know, he doesn't look like a complete freak, and I like the way they tweaked him. I like the fact that they made Cyclops, you know, he's still got a stick up his backside, but he's not nearly as inflexible as he seemed in the 1990 series, to draw another comparison. I love the Professor X in this series. You know, he seemed much more of a loving uncle than, you know, this control freak that he was shown to be in the comic books. Just read the wiki on Professor X, you'll learn everything. And I think my favorite character in this series was Wolverine. Big shock. Because the way they presented Wolverine here, you know, he's an associate of Professor X, you know, from back in the day. He's very much the gruff, rough-and-tumble Wolverine that we all know and love, but he's not this complete berserker, because you know, it was almost a literal translation of Wolverine in the 90s series. Overall, I love this series. I love everything about it. I really wish I could have been there today to discuss this more in depth with you guys, but for right now, I'm JT from Saskatoon, signing off.
Well, before we get back to the actual show, we're going to break in here and respond to JT. Dude, you're more positive about this series than we are.
I gotta say. Wow. You know, that's a good point about the visual style of the 90s show. Though, I never really found that off-putting from what I saw, but I only dabbled in that show. I do think the animation quality in X-Men Evolution is really quite good. Film Roman did great work there. But I don't like that many of the designs. They're a little too moody for me. We've talked about Rogue and Cyclops' hair. Yeah. Just not big fans of that. But I did like interpretations of some of these characters. I don't know why you would like Toad. I mean, I kind of like him out of amusement factor, but
JT is from Canada, so he likes still weird stuff. Yeah.
He's from Canada, so he likes weird stuff.
That's right.
I see.
The one thing that, you know, he was mentioning the character designs. The one thing I had yet to bring up in this show was, I know it's more so the classic uniform. I hated Jean Grey's uniform in this series.
Really?
Yeah, I much preferred the, you know, almost, you know, skin-tight, scantily clad Phoenix outfits from the old 92 series.
Oh, well, the Phoenix outfit. How can you not like the Phoenix outfit?
I know. So thank you, JT, for sending in your feedback. Yes, we wish you were here too, but, you know, you getting to work at your comic book shop for actual money, that kind of takes precedence over podcasting, so.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, one thing that I forgot to mention in any other segment, this is like the only version of the relationship of Wolverine and Scott when he's not vying for Jean, which is very different than usual. He's like, he's even rooting for Scott in at least one episode.
Yeah.
So that's a very big contrast from pretty much every other X-Men interpretation ever.
So we are back here on Tooncast Beyond in the season of superheroes. My final thoughts on Evolution, it's tolerable if you're deaf and blind. Because what I did was, when I did the research for the show to be able to watch it, I marathoned it on Netflix. I marathoned it in one weekend, all 52 episodes. I watched like 10 episodes from like a Thursday night to a Monday morning. And I would watch 10 episodes a day. And I just, the show, like I said, has some good points, has some really awesome moments, but overall, it's not that great of an X-Men show for me.
Yeah. It's really middle-of-the-road-ish hey, watch it because you can, and maybe to have educational comparison to other superhero cartoons before and after.
Right.
But it's nothing particularly special. It's...
Nope.
It's watchable, but honestly, I wouldn't recommend marathoning it because it gets mundane if you do that.
It gets mundane and monotonous. Trust me, it does. I know.
Yeah.
You know, if they found a way to... I don't know how this show got 4 seasons. I honestly have no clue because you would think that the people running the show or the people that were in like the people at Kids WB but would be like after the first season like, yeah, this really isn't because that first season I'm really surprised they got past the emo. I really am.
Yeah, I think they were probably a little iffy on it at the first season, but I believe they already had ordered 26 episodes. That's usually the case with a new show. It's not that common for them to only order one season right away. I mean, they can always cancel within that time period, but
I think
it really helped out this show to be able to make it into the second season, and the second season is really where it started to shine. And the third season had a lot of really good episodes.
Yeah, it did. I will agree to that.
By then, they're like, well, I think even by then, they had stopped re-airing it on Cartoon Network, and they were just finishing off the final 9 on Kids WB, and then it just disappeared until it's re-ran on Disney XD because Marvel got the rights back.
Yeah. I don't know. So, you got anything you want to promote?
Interest kind of petered out.
Well, yeah.
You got anything you want to promote?
Anything I want to promote? No, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I haven't been up to much other than watching lots of cartoons. Go see Avengers.
Yes, go see Avengers. Everyone needs to go see Avengers.
That is superhero-dom done right.
Take a note, DC.
Yeah, please, take a note, DC. The whole time I was watching that movie, it's like, this would be going so much better if they had Superman. Where's my Justice League movie? Come on!
Hell, they'd probably fuck it up like they fucked up Green Lantern. Anyway... Thank you for joining us here in Tooncast Beyond. There's always get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. You can also send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. You can also follow the official Twitter @geekcastradio. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a USB headset or microphone on your computer, go to the website. On the right-hand side, there's a button that says Send Voicemail Now. You can do it directly from your computer. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond. Wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing the Season of Superheroes with Wolverine and the X-Men. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.